This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Anytime you are in need of legal assistance, you do not need to have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to call Brandon Legal Group. And again, they are a full-service law firm. They've been big supporters of the Todd Wright family of podcasts and Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments for well over a year now, and I encourage you to call them when you need legal assistance. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Also, speaking of the Todd Wright Tour, as I cut this podcast on Cinco de Mayo, yesterday was the sold-out Todd Wright Tour XIX, Todd Wright Tour 19 at Wentworth Golf Club in Tarpon Springs. And I want to thank Jesse Pratt for his hard work with me on this successful tournament that everyone enjoyed. And Wentworth Golf Club is offering a player development membership at only $49 per month. That includes unlimited range balls for the entire month, unlimited walking to play the course after 3 p.m. If you'd like to play golf and ride a golf cart after 3 p.m., you pay only a $10 golf fee, and there are some free golf lessons included. There are clinics Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and Saturday 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. that allow you some free golf instruction, and I know Jesse personally is involved with that. You can ask the golf shop for more details. The phone number is 727-942-4760. WentworthGolfClub.org is the website. Wentworth Golf Club has hosted two Todd Wright Tour events, and I look forward to returning there sometime in the year 2020. So yesterday, when I host these golf events, to be blunt, they kick my ass. Now, first of all, for those of you who have never come out, please do. If you play golf, if you enjoy playing in golf tournaments, we play team events, either two-person team events or four-person team events, and everybody has fun. I attract golfers of various skill levels. I do the Todd Wright Tour putting contest, the Todd Wright Tour prize draft. We all have fun, and it's very affordable. For example, Todd Wright Tour XIX was a $64 tournament. That's it, and that included all golf fees and your lunch catered by Papa John's and Better Bird. Unlike other golf tournaments that sell raffle tickets, and technically that's illegal, I have a prize draft. The prize draft is kind of themed like a draft, and your name will be called, and you come up and you choose your prize. Clearly, if your name is called early, you get to choose from a bigger selection. But if your name happens to be called dead last, we always save a very good prize for Mr. or Ms. or Mrs. Irrelevant. So anyway, they're a lot of work for me, but I get a lot of enjoyment from the fact that I'm hosting golf events for people that enjoy them, talk about them, bring out new people, and I've met a lot of individuals, people involved with local businesses, and it's all working extremely well. So when I come home from one of these events, I'm done. I'm utterly exhausted. I woke up at roughly 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, was at the golf course by 5:45 a.m. I don't play in my own events. Honestly, if someone's running a golf tournament like this and they play in the golf tournament, to me, they're not that serious about running it because there's always something to do and there's always things that need to be done during the actual tournament itself. So no, I don't play in my own golf tournaments. I care too much about everybody's experience. So I get home from these events after cleaning up, packing my car, unloading my car, and I get on my couch and I fall asleep. Now, one of the things I did do before falling asleep was I DVR'd some late afternoon and early evening sporting events. So when I wake up sometime in the evening, I can catch up on everything else that's going on. Horse racing doesn't do it for me. when I worked for ESPN, the great Kenny Mayne, or as I call him, Ken, invited me to a Kentucky Derby with him. It was a wonderful invitation. In the end, I canceled on him. It was the closest I ever came. Have I been to Churchill Downs? Yes, I have. I've been to a brunch there in the days leading up to a Breeders' Cup because I happened to be in the area for an enormous football game between Louisville and West Virginia. It was a Thursday night game, Battle of Unbeatens, and either that day or the next day went to this Breeders' Cup brunch at Churchill Downs. So I have been to the facility, and that's about the extent of it for me. So based on what happened at the 145th Kentucky Derby yesterday, what I take out of it is the fact that we are clearly in a calendar year that for whatever reason could be remembered as the year of sporting events being significantly impacted by officials more than any year in recent memory. In chronological order, I point to the NFC Championship game between the Rams and Saints, the Final Four game, the semifinal game involving eventual national champion Virginia. I believe they played Auburn because I think it was Texas Tech who beat Michigan State. If I have that wrong, I apologize. But Virginia's win in the semis, not the title game win over Texas Tech, but their win in the semis, which I believe was against Auburn. And then more recently, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, elimination game between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks, and now the Kentucky Derby. So let's go one by one here. Let's start with Rams-Saints. We are in the final minutes of the Rams-Saints game, and the Saints are in possession of the football and are driving towards the end zone, and they look to be more interested in taking time off the clock to score either a touchdown or settle for a field goal to not give Sean McVay's offense time to go back down the field against them and tie or win the game. And what happened? Drew Brees' attempt to complete a ball near the sideline to one of his receivers was a clear defensive pass interference, not called by the officials, not a reviewable play, and the Saints settle for a field goal earlier than they intended. The Rams get the ball back earlier than most think they would have, tie the game, and eventually win the game and go on to the Super Bowl. The feeling was the NFL blew it, and the wrong team played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Let's go to college basketball. On the biggest stage in the Final Four in the early game, Virginia's player committed a double dribble. It was not called. The result of the play was a successful basket by Virginia in a game that they went on to win. They advanced to the national title game, and they win the national championship. This was talked about between games at length by the great Gene Steratore, longtime NFL referee and college basketball official, about how it was a clear double dribble and it should have been called immediately, and thus Virginia would have lost possession of the basketball and likely there lost the game in the closing seconds. Let's fast forward to first round Stanley Cup playoff action between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. Vegas leads the game 3-0 with roughly about 10 minutes or so to go. It might have been 7 minutes, but I think it was somewhere midway through the third period. Vegas has a 3-goal lead over the Sharks in Game 7. Off a faceoff in the Vegas zone to the left of Marc-Andre Fleury, Joe Pavelski loses the faceoff and then is hit by two Vegas Golden Knights, falls to the ice, and there's a pool of blood. At the time in which he was contacted by both players and the time at which he hit the ice, there was no penalty called. Seconds later, play was stopped. Officials got together and suddenly decided that there was a 5-minute major penalty infraction on Vegas. This was the wrong call. During the 5-minute major, San Jose scored 4 goals because you get the full 5 minutes to play with a man advantage. It was furious action, and Vegas, as a hockey team, was furious about the wrong call. San Jose goes on to win the game, and the Vegas Golden Knights, last year's Western Conference champions, are eliminated on what the NHL acknowledged afterwards was the wrong call. Okay, so let's stop there and talk about those three. Rams Saints, officials don't make a call. It is acknowledged later, it was defensive pass interference, and the NFL now has made the play reviewable for the next season. Clearly an admission by the NFL, they blew it. The wrong team likely advanced to the Super Bowl tainted. Final four. Gene Steratore walked us through it very well on CBS's national telecast. The play for Virginia that ultimately allowed them to extend and or win the game should have never happened because a player before he even crossed midcourt double dribbled. Whistle should have been blown. Possession goes to the opposite team. Virginia would have lost the game and not advanced to the title game that they won. And then the Vegas Golden Knights play the San Jose Sharks. They have a 3-0 lead. And as my friend and VSiN host Gil Alexander put it very well, there was no penalty called on the play. There was a penalty called on the result of a play. That's wrong. The NHL acknowledged the penalty was wrong. Double major, okay. That means San Jose could have scored a maximum of 2 goals on the man advantage. That's it. Then Vegas is full strength, leading 3-2 from that point on. San Jose does not get a full 5 minutes to score 4 goals and take the lead. Hence, because of that wrong call acknowledged by the NHL, the wrong team gained an advantage they shouldn't have had and advanced in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Which brings us to the Kentucky Derby. The horse that crossed the finish line was then under review based on claims from two jockeys that there was interference at the top of the stretch. And the officials at the Kentucky Derby took over 20 minutes to make their judgment. In the end, they ruled that the horse that crossed the finish line first did interfere with other horses, and thus his finish was disqualified, and everyone moved up one spot in the finishing order, and thus your 60-1 long shot was awarded the victory. So here's the difference between the Kentucky Derby and those other three from earlier in 2019. The wrong team advanced in the NFC Championship game. The wrong team advanced in the Final Four. The wrong team advanced in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The right horse won the Kentucky Derby. The officials with the Kentucky Derby took the time to determine the correct result. Now, you may say, well, that's bullshit. Well, that's your opinion. But that's where the Derby is different from the previous three. Again, let me walk you through it. There was a missed call in the NFC Championship game. As a result of the missed call, most people believe the wrong team won. The missed call has since led to the NFL changing its replay policy, acknowledging the missed call. Yet, the result of the game stood. Gene Steratore clearly pointed out key missed call late in regulation of the Virginia-Auburn semifinal game. Had the call been made, Virginia does not win the game. And, of course, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the San Jose Sharks were awarded, improperly, a 5-minute major penalty, in which they scored 4 goals. The proper call, double minor, which means the maximum you can score is 2 goals on a man advantage. Vegas would have led 3-2. And been at even strength for the remaining minutes of the game. So where those three results are all tainted, Rams advancing, Virginia advancing, San Jose advancing, the Kentucky Derby result is not tainted. In this case, the officials at that time took the necessary time to say, nope, this isn't right. This isn't going to be the result. And we're going to disqualify the winner of the event. Something the NFL didn't do as it related to the Rams advancing. Something that the NCAA didn't do as a result of Virginia advancing, something the NHL didn't do as a result of San Jose advancing. Now you're saying, well, the leagues can't do that. Well, maybe they should. You know, I've said for a long time, if you're a head coach in a big game and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you just got screwed. And as a result of a bad call, that you're going to lose the game because of the bad call. If there's time left in the game, you pull your team off the field, you send them into the locker room, and you say to the head referee, until you get this right, we're not playing the rest of the game. I've always wanted a head coach to do that because there is a chance that that referee in control of that game could talk to his bosses and the league office and they end up getting it right rather than declaring the game over and a forfeit. Because now that head coach on the wrong end of that call, he has brought national attention to the referees and the league and basically saying, no, We don't want the apology after the game ends that you screwed us. We want you to get it right, take all the time you need, and this game is not over. So I hope someone in the future actually does that. Not going to hold my breath. But to me, that's a lot better than sitting for an entire offseason or for years wondering, why did that happen to us? Why did we get an apology after the fact? Why did they change the rule later? Yet, we didn't go to the Super Bowl, or we didn't advance in the Final Four, or we didn't advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, if 20-plus minutes from the Kentucky Derby officials seem like a long time, in the end, they did what the NFL didn't do. They did what college basketball didn't do. They did what the NHL didn't do. They made the decision at that time and said, nope, that's not our winner. There has been a foul here, and as a result of that foul, this is now your winner. So while I'm not a big fan of horse racing, I do wonder if other leagues and other sports will look at what the Kentucky Derby just did for the first time in its 145-year history and say, we want the right winner. We don't want people talking about a race and saying that it's tainted, that the winner didn't deserve to advance and be in a position to win a championship. That's the way I view what happened with the Kentucky Derby and how it's different from the results earlier this year in the NFL, the Final Four, and the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hey, keep in mind, Pin Chasers is a big supporter of the Todd Wright family of podcasts and Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area who are always looking for places to put your kids in summer camps, how about Pin Chasers for summer camp? First of all, you're thinking, oh, it's indoors. It's air conditioned. Absolutely. Ages 5 to 15, the times are Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Camp dates, June 10th, June 24th, July 8th. That's at Midtown in East Pasco. June 17th and July 15th at the Veterans location at 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue. The summer camps include snacks and lunch, a free personalized bowling ball, free shirt and water bottle, bowling competitions. There actually are some outdoor activities. Now, granted, it'll be more of an indoor thing in the AC, but there are outdoor activities as well. Free arcade play and a party at the end of camp. The cost is $199 per week. Register for camp at pinchasers.net or call 813-871-2695. Pin Chasers, consider it for summer camps ages 5 to 15. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Toddcast, and we'll talk to you next time.